As always, it is my sincere pleasure to welcome you to Truth Be Told, and a heartfelt thank you for joining us. I am Michael Boldea, your host, and today we will be continuing our series entitled Rediscovering Christ, a series that will span anywhere from 50 to 70 programs in length. Yes, there is an abundance of teaching one can glean from the life of Christ, the teachings of Christ, and the person of Christ. And if we hope to know God and have greater fellowship with Him, then we must, without delay, grow in our knowledge of Jesus because He is the way into the kingdom of God. Now, before we get started with today's teaching, I wanted to thank all those of you who have been writing in, as well as thank you for your encouraging words. I wanted to take a couple of minutes and just read a few of the emails that I've received because I believe they shed a light on why I decided to do this series and why we've made this new outreach of Hand of Help Ministry available to one and all for free. There are certain things that we do ask donations for, such as the television programs or the books, and even then, if someone can't give anything, we just send it to them anyway. Why would we ask for donations? Well, because there is a cost involved in printing a book or in producing a television show. But these audio messages have very little overhead. In fact, it's just me and a digital recorder, so we're able to offer them free of charge. Now, as I said, on to the emails. Our first email comes from Barbara, and I had to smile reading it because it just spoke to me. I get the self same reaction from a lot of different people, but the way Barbara put it sort of encapsulates the general feeling I've come across when people listen to our teachings. And Barbara's email says the following: I don't know if this is where I am to send this message, but he asked listeners to respond if they felt helped by his audio sermons. I'm writing to say that I do feel that way. I find that they're tough to listen to, but then afterwards they provide comfort and truth to grow on. I listen to some sermons that are very sweet and then his that are very bitter. I kind of dread listening to them, but then I want to hear the truth and find the comfort therein. Other sermons kind of make me sick with their excessive joy and sweetness, but I listen to those also to get what knowledge and confidence I can there. It seems like the sweet sermons linger in your mind, while the bitter sermons reach to the depths of your soul. You feel tortured to listen to them, but then after, it is like a well that refreshes you in times of trouble. It reminds me of the sweet scroll in Revelations that turned bitter in John's stomach. Maybe some knowledge gets us nowhere, and some knowledge enriches the soul. And that was from Barbara. And all I can say, Barbara, is in my defense, I don't go out of my way to preach bitter sermons, just balanced sermons. Sweets are nice. I like sweets. They're a treat from time to time, but too many sweets will rot your teeth and perforate your stomach lining. Now, I think I'm a sweet guy, sort of, but when it comes to the Word of God, we must rightly divide it. Preaching the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the sovereignty of God, and the correction of God in equal measure to the love of God and the mercy of God. Pet doctrines are fun for a season. But if all we do is preach one particular pet doctrine rather than the whole counsel of God, the end result will be a deformed and imbalanced doctrine. So this is why I preach the way I preach, not because I've chosen this way of preaching, but because it is balanced and it is gospel-based. But Barbara, thank you for your email. It made me smile, and it really did make my day. Now, our second email comes from someone concerning our series on the chastening of the Lord. And if you haven't heard it yet, I would encourage you to download it or listen to it, as I believe it will show you the chastening of the Lord in a new light. And the email says, audio lesson chastening was right on. What a blessing to feel the Spirit when you teach, brother. This was so edifying. King David conquered with the Lord, not just because of him, and you bring that out so gracefully. We do all things with Christ. Without him, we are weak, blind, and naked. God had his people sacrifice in the morning and in the evening. This is right on too as far as spending time with him. If we seek him when we awake, we will walk with him in the day. And then at night we find rest in him and blessing as he forever changes us so that we cannot glory of ourselves. Amen. Glory to God. And our third email, and the last one that we will have time for today, comes from Chris. And it says, "Hello, brothers and sisters there at Hand of Help Ministries. Please pass along my thanks to Brother Mike and staff for the Truth Be Told messages. I am in my own personal wilderness now, as I was persecuted for my steadfastness in the Lord. I have been downloading the messages and listening to them as I work out of doors or after studying the Word. I continue to pray for you guys, and blessings from my family to yours, Chris." And Chris, thank you for your email, and you are likewise in our prayers. And with that, we turn our focus back on Jesus. We turn our focus back on the person of Jesus, on the work of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, and the teachings of Jesus to see what the Word of God and Christ, our chief example, might teach us today. I've been getting a lot of correspondence lately concerning spiritual wounds. Whether they came from the enemy or fellow brethren, they're still wounds. And one thing that is evident from rifling through all the emails is that spiritual wounds are very real, they are very painful, and oftentimes they're very lasting. In light of this, today I wanted to discuss Jesus in a new light. That of healer of spiritual wounds. Yes, Jesus can, and Jesus does heal spiritual wounds. We see that throughout the Gospels, Jesus healed. Jesus healed a lot of people. Whether they suffered physically or spiritually, he healed them. Now, we can readily go into some of the physical healings that Jesus performed, but I want to look at the spiritual healing that he offers us instead, because I think that we can all agree, oftentimes, spiritual wounds and spiritual hurts are more painful than physical ailments. We all have spiritual wounds. We've all been hurt spiritually. And when it comes to spiritual wounds, they can come from different sources. There isn't just one place that spiritual wounds originate, but rather there are a variety of places. There are spiritual wounds that are caused by sin. There are spiritual wounds that are caused by inattentiveness or carelessness. There are spiritual wounds that are caused by enemies. And there are spiritual wounds that are caused by family members or brothers and sisters in Christ. All of these are painful to a greater or lesser degree. Now, spiritual wounds are very similar to physical wounds. They vary in size and shape, some being deep while others being superficial, some causing severe damage while others simply grazing the spiritual man. It is always difficult to know just how deep a wound is and how much damage has been done unless you're the person in question. You see, we have a tendency to minimize other people's pain. We have a tendency to minimize other people's spiritual wounds and to brush them off as though they were nothing more than a pesky paper cut. But the truth of the matter is that we just don't know. What may seem irrelevant and nothing more than a glancing blow to one individual may in fact be a deep and damaging wound in another. There are some who have old wounds which have never healed, and others whose wounds are fresh. There are wounds that are repetitive and others that are a one-time occurrence. One thing is certain, spiritual wounds vary in scope, size, and intensity, yet they are wounds, nevertheless. Wounds that must be tended to, wounds that must be bandaged up, and wounds that must be healed. There is one universal truth when it comes to those who have been spiritually hurt and who have spiritual wounds, and that truth is that they desire healing. It's normal to desire healing. It's right to desire healing because no one enjoys suffering. No one takes pleasure in suffering. In fact, we desire healing as quickly as possible, don't we? No matter how many patients a doctor might have seen in his lifetime, I doubt he's ever heard the words, "Take your time, doc, no hurry. I may be in excruciating pain, but make me better at your earliest convenience. Don't worry about me, just do what you need to do first, and when you get around to me, that's all well and good." People don't do that. That's not how people react to pain. When people are sick, they want to get better. Not tomorrow, not a week later, but as early as possible. I've never spent time in a hospital, thank God. But in talking to those who have, time seems to pass by very slowly when you're bedridden. By the same token, when one is spiritually wounded, the days and nights seem endless. They seem longer than they truly are. Rather than spend time in prayer, rather than spend time in the Word, people with spiritual wounds tend to focus on their wounds, going over how they came about, how they happened. They go over the event in their mind. They try to find reason or logic behind the attack, all the while making the wound bigger by constantly picking at it. Not only do people want healing as soon as possible, most people want it as cheap as possible as well. I've never seen anyone refuse the services of a doctor or a treatment because they were too cheap. And while we're on the subject, whenever we get sick, we also want the best care possible. So in essence, we want it fast, we want it cheap, and we want it top-notch. It's true, sometimes we're content with simply masking the pain. We pop a pill and the pain goes away for a little while. But if we could have it our way, we would do away with the pain altogether, forever, permanently. I have gout. Gout is painful. Painful doesn't even begin to describe it. I have to constantly watch my diet and limit my intake of protein because if I exceed a limit, then I'm in for a world of hurt. Even with restricting protein intake, sometimes it flares up on its own. And all I can do is endure because there is no known cure for gout. Would I like a cure? Most certainly I would, but I have to settle for numbing the pain, if only slightly. Whether suffering physically or suffering spiritually, we either want to be cured altogether or at least lessen the pain. Now, I've said all this to say the following. There is good news. There is healing when it comes to spiritual wounds. No, I will not be attempting to sell you sandalwood oil or super special vitamins that give you vigor a la Pat Robertson. I will be, as always, however, pointing you to Jesus because he can and he does heal spiritual wounds. I know we covered the following passage during the last installment of this series, but now we get to look at it in a different light. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So knowing that Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted as well as set at liberty those who are oppressed, knowing that he has the authority and power to heal us, the question that remains to be asked is, when will Jesus heal us? Well, Jesus will heal us when we belong to him. You see, Christ's first priority is wounded servants. Christ's first priority are his own. First and foremost, Christ cares for those that belong to him. Second of all, Christ will heal our spiritual wounds when we obey him, when we turn to him, and when we appropriate his blood that will cleanse us and heal us. There are two types of individuals in need of spiritual healing. First, those that have not yet appropriated the blood of Christ, and second, those that have gone astray and as yet have refused to return to Him. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 says it this way, "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." Now, Isaiah chapter 6 verse 10 shows us the other side of the coin. It says this, "Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." Third of all, and I know that some of you might not like this, but it is true, spiritual healing comes about when the affliction has completed its work. Sometimes God allows us to go through spiritual upheaval to draw our eyes back to Him, to draw our hearts back to Him, to cause us to seek Him with fervor and desperation. Through our present suffering, God is preparing us for a new work. He is refining us and purifying us and chiseling us. The healing will come when the work is done. Now, there are various ways by which Jesus can and does bring about spiritual healing. First is through the written word of God. Whenever you've been hurt, whenever you feel like you're spiritually wounded, whenever you feel like you're under attack, I urge you, I beseech you to go to the Word of God. Within the pages of God's Word, we find comfort, we find peace, we find balm for our wounds, we find joy, and we find the promises of God that carry us through our dark days and our hard times. The second way by which Jesus can and does bring about spiritual healing is through the brethren who encourage us and hold us up in prayer. As a side note, nowadays, there seem to be more so-called brothers who would rather stick their finger in your wound just to make it bleed worse than there are those who would bind up your wound, pour balm over it, and help it to heal. I don't know when it was that we stopped actively displaying the love of Christ to our fellow brethren. But Christian circles nowadays more closely resemble and like an every man for himself battle royal than they do the family of God, than they do the body of Christ, than they do the manifestation of Christ's love here on earth. I would urge you, if you're listening to this, be a healer and not a destroyer. Be one who binds wounds, not one who inflicts even more pain. The brethren are supposed to be a comfort. You and I are supposed to be a comfort. Timothy was a comfort and an encouragement to Paul. Paul was a comfort and an encouragement to many. If we have the heart of Christ, then we will inevitably weep with those who weep. We will inevitably be there to help bind their wounds and have a kind word to speak into their lives. Jesus also brings about spiritual healing through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, is with us and in us and among us. And He is also known as the Comforter because, well, He comforts us in our time of hardship and need. There is healing to be had in Christ, both physical and spiritual. But I would encourage you to open your heart to the possibility that you might also be the vehicle Christ chooses to bring about spiritual healing to one who is hurting. I don't know if I made that very clear. See, sometimes we want spiritual healing, but we're unwilling to be the vessel that God uses to bring about spiritual healing in others. Perhaps you are that vessel. You are the vehicle God decides to use in order to bring about spiritual healing in someone else. Oftentimes, seeing the vitriol with which brothers attack brothers and ministries attack ministries, all I can say is, God help us if He does unto us as we do unto others. God help us if God returns with the same heartlessness and mercilessness with which we do unto others to us. We need to realize that we serve an all-knowing God, a God whose love compelled him to send his son to die on a cross for our sins. And if we aspire to be like his son, ought we not to show the same love to our fellow man? That is the question. And with that, yet another installment of Truth Be Told has reached its rightful end. As always, if these messages are a blessing to you, please tell someone about them. And if you have the time, drop us a line and let us know that they're a blessing to you. Not that it means anything, but your message might just get read live at the time of this audio recording. I know, that's exciting. So, with all due sincerity, however, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Thank you for taking the time to feed your spirit. And thank you for taking the time to pray for this outreach and for this ministry. Until next time, may you love the truth. May you live the truth. May you speak the truth, and may you spread the truth. This has been Truth Be Told. Until next time, may God bless you.